let's talk a little bit more about Joe Biden. You know, and his claim that MAGA Republicans are a threat to democracy. Are there any of you out there who identify as MAGA Republicans? Call it 203-333-WICC. I want to find out how you are threatening the Republic and threatening democracy. One would have thought, after Sleepy Joe's breakout speech the other night in front of his neo-fascist rendering of the Independence Hall, oh, you recall the scene, dark red lights in the back, Marines flanking him side by side, him shaking his little hoofs, oops, I mean fists, as though he were filled with a sort of neo-Hitlerian rage at what the new American scapegoats were doing. No, I'm not referring to the Jews. I'm referring to MAGA Republicans. One would have thought after that disaster of a speech, Sleepy Joe would decide, hey, I thought I was going to, blah, 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 blah. Hey, man, yeah, I thought it was going to, yeah, I think I told people that I was going to talk about unity. Maybe I should dial it back. Oh, no. He's doubling down. MAGA Republicans are a threat to our democracy. Not every Republican, he now says, is a MAGA Republican. Only people who, you know, I guess, won't stop challenging the election or who use language that could become incendiary, that carries with it the threat of violence. Oh no, Sleepy Joe. I guess that makes me a MAGA Republican. Hey, Joey. Joey, wake up, face out of the oatmeal. Come on, deep breath, walk in place, 30 seconds, get that pulse moving. 1, 2, 3, 4, I ain't gonna take it anymore. Okay, ready, you there, Joe? This is the White House. May I help you? Yes, I'd like to speak to Joe Biden. Yeah, man, what up? Joe, am I a threat to democracy because I think you're full of beans? Am I a threat to democracy because I don't like the direction this country is going? Am I a threat to a democracy because of the new identitarianism that is marginalizing increasing numbers of people who've worked their butts off in this country for decades, only to be told suddenly that they're second-class citizens? Am I a MAGA Republican because I think when Bank of America announces a new no-interest loan that only people of color can qualify for, I think my children aren't being given a fair shot for a country I helped build? Am I a MAGA Republican? Republican Joe, if I file a lawsuit against the Guilford school district for permitting harassment of children based on their parents' political views when their parents object to teaching in the public schools that the only way to combat racism against blacks is to use racism against whites, does that make me a MAGA American? And Joe, if my rhetoric gets angry and I start talking about how this republic was founded by a rejection of far less than the outrages that are being committed almost daily in this country, now, a tax on tea, taxation without representation. There was no income tax then. Nobody owed the government a certain percentage of their lifeblood simply because they got out of bed and worked in the morning. Oh, Joey boy, Joey, wake up, come on. That was me slapping his face. Whoops, no, I didn't slap his face. I didn't even suggest that his face should be slapped. That might be criminal insurrection. There might be new charges. I might be in the dock. No, Joe. Does that make me a threat to American democracy, or does it make me an American who regards you and your sleepy rhetoric as a threat? What do you say, Joe? What do you say to that? And Joe, while we're on the topic of threats to democracy and threats to our way of life, what are you going to do about all that violence in summer of 2020? When those of us who obeyed government health directives were locked down and watched on our televisions as those who decided a competing public health emergency, so-called systemic racism, justified mass protests which resulted in rioting, burning, looting of businesses, destruction of livelihood to the tune of billions of dollars. Who's going to hold those people accountable, Joe? Were they a threat to our democracy? Or is it only people who have the temerity to raise questions about elections when electoral reform is the talk of every state in the country right now? And there's a case on its way to the United States Supreme Court involving the extent to which federal government or federal laws should trump in the name of uniformity electoral laws in the state. Joe, are they a threat to democracy, or do they support you and therefore everything's just fine? Joe, are they a threat? Are we only a threat when we question what you're doing and suggest that we ain't going to take it? Are we only a threat, Joe, if we look at the direction this country is moving and decide, hey, you know what? I don't want my children being taught in the schools that gender is fluid and that you can decide at age 8 that you want to be the other side and maybe switch back at 13. Joe, are we a threat to democracy if we recognize that for 2 millennia there was a strong cultural Judeo-Christian tradition filled with classical books written by, oh, those dread creatures, old white men? Are we a threat to democracy, Joe, if we say, before you throw that out in the name of diversity for diversity's sake, stop and consider what built this country? And Joey, wake up. Come on, I'm still talking to you, buddy. I'm one of the people. I'm a mega Republican, I guess. I guess I'm becoming one. Because if you're starting to call people who want to get angry and defend the way we live against a bunch of people who look like marauding savages coming in from some sort of Deep Space Nine game, Joe, if you want to call me a threat to democracy, I'm going to tell you something. You might be right. Yeah, Joe. Because if your version of democracy is a place where everything goes, if your version of democracy is a place where we worship diversity for diversity's sake and everybody's got to get political re-education training in order to know how to recognize the equality of each and every expressive individualist tendency in our society such that all people are equal and we can't distinguish better from worst and where we dare not criticize someone's standards because we don't think they conform to excellence. Joey, if that makes me a threat to democracy, I guess I am. But maybe you're the threat to the republic, Joe. Maybe your division of the of democracy isn't what American republicanism is all about. And I'm not talking about Donald Trump republicanism. I've said it before, folks. I'll say it again. If Donald choked on his next cheeseburger, he'd be doing the country a favor, okay? People, I am unaware of anybody who genuinely likes, respects, and admires the man in the sense that if they were looking for a godfather for their child, someone to look after their child's spiritual welfare in the event of their death, they'd select Donald Trump. If you're that person, 203-333-WICC, I want to know what I'm missing. No, those of us who have supported Trump in the past and might be tempted to support him in the future aren't supporting him because we think he's a good man. We're supporting him because he's a man who stands up and calls BS when he sees it. And at least somebody in the room is being courageous enough to stand up to the new waves of orthodoxy and say, not on my shore. Go back out to sea and drown yourself in your own swill. No, Joe, maybe the republicanism we're talking about is the kind that founded this country. And I'm not going to make a fetish of the founding fathers. I don't think James Madison was the fourth person of the Trinity. Alexander Hamilton wasn't all that. Washington was the right man for the times, but I'm not sure that his keeping of slaves made him a moral exemplar. And Jefferson, witty and erudite as he was definitely a creature of the 18th century when it was possible for one person to know a lot about almost everything and be an authority. No, I'm not going to fetishize them, but I am going to say that the idea of limited government, of placing some things beyond the reach of the majority, of a constitution founded on a Bill of Rights and a conception of the value of the individuals, that's something worth fighting for, Joe. And if that makes me a threat to the republic, I'll own it. Andrea, how are you? I forgot where you're calling from.
I'm doing great.
What's up, girl?
I'm calling from Bridgeport.
Oh, the Park City.
Yeah. And I identify myself as a mega Republican.
Well, you nasty human being, you're a threat to democracy. How does that feel?
Because people forget Joe Biden's history.
Tell us about that history.
When they forget that Joe Biden is the one who let black people be in prison for such a long time, they forget everything that Joe Biden did to black people. And the thing I don't like with these Democrats, they're so unfair. If I'm a Republican, and if somebody who is a Republican did wrong, I'm not afraid to say they're wrong. But these people like to cover up stuff. And if being a mega Republican, that's who I am, because never in my life would I vote for a Democrat.
What is that? That's harsh. I mean, never in your life would you vote for a Democrat? Have you ever voted for a Democrat?
Never in my life. No, and I will never. And I was born in this country. I came here, and I read, and I study, and I will never, ever vote for a Democrat.
Where are you from?
Jamaica.
How long have you been in the United States?
20 years.
And you've got to be, what, 23, 24?
45.
Okay, so you were an adult when you came here. Why did you come here?
Yes. I came here because my mom was here and she wanted us to come here.
Do you ever regret coming to the United States?
For my kids' sake, no. But for me, I think I was better off back home.
Tell me why.
Because I was a businesswoman and I was doing great.
Not so much here now?
Yeah, I get to establish myself where I'm now a business owner, mm-hmm. and I'm okay.
Well, so you know, I ask that because you know, I was born here. My dad was an illegal immigrant. You know, he came here for a better life. I stayed because I didn't know any better. But I don't see, you know, I see a lot of these. A lot of people criticizing the United States, but they never ask themselves the question, if we're so awful, how come we are the world's destination nation?
And a lot of time, I'm black. A lot of time I go out and you know, people been talking, and because you're black, they assume you to be a Democrat.
Yeah.
And a lot of time I said to them, no. Even went for an interview one time, and the lady said to me, oh, I'm happy you're black, because the lady said she doesn't want any Republican to work at her place. And I said, I'm sorry. I don't want to waste your time, and I'm not wasting my time. This job is not for me, because I am a Republican.
Good for you. Can you tell us more about where this was? You don't necessarily have to name a name, but somebody said to you, I don't want any. You sounds like you were interviewing in the Greenwich Public Schools, right? You know. So what was the job, and what was the nature of the employment?
Oh, it was with an agency. Mm-hmm. And it was in Milford. The person mm-hmm. was living in Milford. And they said, try to get me someone that's a Democrat. So when I showed up for the interview, the lady was happy because she said, oh, thank God you're a Democrat. And I said, why? And she said, the lady doesn't want any Republican to work for her. And I said, and the job had paid good to her. And I said, I'm sorry.
Yeah, well, that's a threat to democracy in my view.
I am a Republican.
All right, so you're MAGA, you're MAGA and proud. I guess that's what you're telling me.
Oh, yes, I am.
So here's what I want you to do, Andrea. I love hearing from you. I want you to go. Do you have access to Google?
Yes.
I want you, this is your homework assignment, and if you don't perform it, I'm going to give you a scarlet letter. I want you to go online and look up the White House switchboard, and I want you to call Joe Biden's White House right now, and I want you to leave a following message. I am a MAGA Republican. Do you think I'm a threat to democracy? Will you do that for us and call us back?
Oh, yes. Definitely I will.
I mean, you know, I think we should all be calling the White House switchboard right now. Dear Sleepy Joe, I am a MAGA Republican. What does that make me a threat to democracy?
This guy's sitting there for up to 50 years, and what do people think he's going to do different?
Well, I mean, here's the other thing. I keep seeing this story. Oh, here, and I just looked it up. Okay, here. So, folks, I think Sleepy Joe needs to hear from us, don't you? Now, don't be afraid.
Yes, he,
don't
no,
think
I'm
this.
I'm not afraid.
No, I'm talking to everybody else out there. I know you're not afraid. You've got ovaries of steel. I'm sure I'm not the first person to tell you that. But here's the number. Here's the White House switchboard. 202.
Oh, let me get my pen.
Yeah, no, I want you to call. And I want you to tell them, Norm Pattis, WICC 600, 1073 FM, WICC600.com, sent me. And I have a message for you, Joe. I'm a MAGA Republican.
I don't want to hold your time up. I'm going to run for my pen, but I listen to you every day. I race to finish doing what I'm doing to listen to your program.
Well, boy, you just made my day. You know, if I weren't married, I'd be calling you. But if I called you now, my wife would think, oh, what up, you know?
I race to do what I have to do just to listen to you.
So here's the number, folks. Get your pencil out like Andrea. Andrea's running around the house like right now like a chicken with her head cut off. Okay, ready? 202.
Right.
456.
Yeah.
1111. So 202-456-1111. Dear Joey, I'm a MAGA Republican. Does that make me a threat to the democracy? Norm Pattis sent me. WICC 600 AM, 107.3 FM, WICC600.com if you're live streaming. Let's light up the switchboard and see if Joe has something to say to us in his next address. I didn't mean callers from WICC. I meant people who listen to other radio networks, because I know that people who listen. Oh, come on, man. I know that people who listen to WICC 600 AM, 107.3 FM, WICC600.com if they're live streaming. I know they're reasonable people. Thanks for calling, Andrea. Call back anytime and call me back. Let me know if you get a response from the White House. Oh, and Andrea, when you call, maybe you should say, hey, I'm black. I'm a person of color. The White House? I feel marginalized. I feel excluded. I want the diversity officer to paint the house black. How come we don't have a black house, Joe? I mean, let's take all this craziness seriously and press it to the edges and see what happens. But that might get us charged. That might get us charged with a crime. You're listening to WICC 600 AM, 107.3 FM, WICC600.com if you're live streaming. Well, word trickles in. You've probably heard it already, but if you haven't, sit. Queen Elizabeth II of England died moments ago at age 96 at according to Buckingham Palace. According to a press report from the palace, the Queen died peacefully at Balmoral this afternoon. The King and Queen consort will remain at Balmoral this evening and will return to London tomorrow. Flags, yep, so there you go. I mean, what a woman she was. I've never been a fan of the royals. You know, I remember when Princess Diana died in 1997 in a car crash. The United States seemed to come swirling to a crash. Was it 1997 or was it 77? It seems like I've got the year wrong. But the country came swirling to a crash. No, it was 97. And the same as it was when she married Prince Charles, who now becomes King Charles. I guess it'll be Charles, the second or the third. I mean, there was King Charles I during the English Civil Wars in 1648. He was beheaded. And then I think there was another Charles. So we'll let the royals over there figure it out. But, you know, when Diana married Prince Charles, the world stopped. I mean, I remember my wife at the time, getting up at 3-4 o'clock in the morning to watch the wedding. I mean, she wouldn't have got up that early if I needed fried eggs and toast to go out on a fishing trip. I'd be on my own. But to watch Diana marry, fine. But, you know, you look at the history of this woman. She first became active as a princess during the Second World War and began to tour the country making speeches to buck up British war morale. She ascended the throne in 1952 after the death of her father, George VI, and she became the country's longest-lived and longest-serving monarch. She endured through the breakup of the English Empire into a Commonwealth of Nations and helped England grow into a former empire at peace and in accord with a growing number of African and Caribbean countries that decolonized in the 1960s and 70s. In other words, she brokered peace in a changing world. She weathered the storm of her son's marriage to Diana's spectacular death in a car crash in 1997, and remained a source of stability to Britain throughout some of the darkest years of its history and until recent times. The world will stop to pause the mourning, the passing of this great leader. She outlasted the 15 prime ministers who served her. Her first prime minister was Winston Churchill. She was monarch during 14 presidencies. But I think it's her connection to Winston Churchill that made me look to her with something like respect. In my office, we fight fights in this office. That's what we do. And the words of Winston Churchill are on one of our walls. During the break, when I heard that she died, I went to get him. Let me read to you. This is the sort of woman who died today, and I wonder whether we'll see another one like her anytime soon. Remember in the dark days when the Nazis were storming Britain? You have to be old enough to remember that. You remember reading about it if you're my age or younger. If you're not, if you don't know what I'm talking about, and I suspect there may be some people young enough who don't, read about it. Churchill took to the microphone in a famous radio address to bolster the courage and the resolve of the English people to resist. And I will not try to use his accent he is inimitable. He cannot be imitated. But here's what he said. even though large tracts of Europe and many old and famous states have fallen or may fall into the grip of the Gestapo and all the odious apparatus of Nazi rule, we shall not flag or fail. We shall go on to the end. We shall fight in France. We shall fight on the seas and oceans. We shall fight with growing confidence and growing strength in the air. We shall defend our island, whatever the cost may be. We shall fight on the beaches. I'm sorry if I tear up. We shall fight on the landing grounds. We shall fight in the fields and in the streets. We shall fight in the hills. We shall never surrender. And if, which I do not for a moment believe, this island or a large part of it were subjugated and starving, then our empire beyond the seas, armed and guarded by the British fleet, would carry on the struggle until, in God's good time, the new world, with all its power and might, steps forth to rescue and to the rescue and the liberation of the old. I mean, wow, you just don't hear words like that. And if you heard him in the United States, you'd probably get a call from Joe Biden's security people saying you're a MAGA Republican talking about violence. Ladies and gentlemen, the fight is all there is. That's the news flash for the day. Queen Elizabeth II lost hers today, dying at 96. What are you going to do with yours tomorrow, today, and the next day? She was prime minister when Winston Churchill rallied a nation against what appeared to be unbeatable odds, and that nation and liberty and dignity won. I wish her family Godspeed in coping with her death, and the people of England peace as they enter into a transition to what will now become the reign of King Charles. The words, you know, they feel a little false coming out of my mouth. The reign of King Charles. I mean, I don't know that I want to live in a world with kings and queens, but it is an anchor to the past, and I think we neglect the past at our peril. We are the product of history, and our ideals have been battle-tested, time-worn, and forged in the crucible of history. Let's take Queen Elizabeth's death as a reminder of that.